Awesome. Well, thank you very much. So good to be here on a Sunday morning, worshiping Jesus with the family of God. Well, I've been away, if you haven't noticed, not this last week, but the week before. I was actually at this awesome thing called Arrow Leadership. So don't know if you guys know anything about that, but it's like a Christian leadership intensive. And I just want to say thank you for allowing me to go to that and be at that, because yeah, I got a lot of awesome stuff from being there. And I have to say, the coffee is really good in Melbourne and Sydney really has to up its game. I was even impressed with the pod coffee there. Like, even getting pod coffee was pretty amazing. So we have some work to do in Sydney, but that's okay. They have this awesome coffee called a Magic. It's actually, does anyone know what that is? Yeah, it's a Melbourne thing, and I might order it in a cafe and see what happens in Sydney. They'll be like, what are you talking about? Up your game, hey. Now, I do want to just start with a joke, and I would like to give my reason why I tell a joke at the beginning of a message, because I actually think we take ourselves way too seriously. And I think it is good to just have a bit of a laugh. Get some of the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so I'm going to tell a joke. It is American, so it's in miles per hour, but I thought it was quite funny, and I'm going to share it, and I hope you think it's funny too. But that's okay. If you don't, I'm still going to share it and have a good laugh. Sitting on the side road waiting to catch speeding drivers was a police officer. Or a state trooper, they call them in America. And this state trooper sees a car puttering along at 22 miles per an hour. And he thinks to himself, this driver is just as dangerous as someone who's speeding. They're going so slow. So this state trooper decides to pull this person over. He approaches the car and notices that there's 5 elderly ladies in the car. 2 in the front seat and 3 in the back. Wide-eyed and white as ghosts. The driver, obviously confused, says to him, Officer, I don't understand. I was going the exact speed limit. What seems to be the problem? The trooper, trying to contain his laughter, explains to her that 22 was the route number, not the speed limit. A bit embarrassed, the woman grinned and thanked the officer for pointing out her error. And the officer says, but before I let you go, ma'am, I have to ask, is everyone in this car okay? Because these women seem awfully shaken. And then she turns to him and says, oh, they'll be all right in a minute, officer. We just got off route 136. And I share that today because we are talking about the gift of limits. So today we are going to dive in and we're going to explore this thing of embracing the gift of limits. And I don't know if you know of this book, but I feel like I've mentioned it like 2 or 3 times since I've been preaching. But it's called The Emotionally Healthy Discipleship. Emotionally Healthy Discipleship. And it's by a guy called Peter I can't say his last name. Sicaro? Is it Sicaro? Cicero. I can't pronounce. Skaz. I'll just call him Skaz. Pete Skaz. It's a great book. I encourage you to get it. But today we are going to be talking about limits. Now, I think limits are actually really important because they do affect how we love God, how we love ourselves, and how we love others. And whether we realize it or not, we all have limits in our life. We have physical limits, we have emotional limits, intellectual limits, we even have financial limits, We even have spiritual limits as well. And it's actually really important for us to develop healthy limits in every part of our lives. And whether that's in work, whether that's in parenting, in marriage, in friendships, school, it's also important to have healthy limits in dating as well. This is true. And part of us actually embracing the gift of limits is actually surrendering to the fact that God, that He is God, but surrendering to the fact that God is God and we are not. And part of what I mean by that is like sometimes when we say yes to things, sometimes we say yes to things because we want to be in control. Sometimes we want to fix the problem or feel the need. And sometimes we can actually lack the faith to say no. Yes, you heard me. It takes faith to say no. Because when we do say no, we actually put our trust in God that He's going to find someone to fill that need. And we put our trust in another person to do the work. So am I making sense? I'm going to just describe this a little more. If you're anything like me, okay, if you know me, I love to say yes to things. Like, have you seen Yes Man, the movie? Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't say yes to everything, but, you know. I'm just a sucker. I just want to say yes to everything, especially in the body of Christ, because I love the family of God. But it actually takes more faith for me to step back and embrace the limits God actually puts on my life. And it takes me more faith to actually step back and put my trust in Him to find someone else that's going to fill a need that's not me. Am I making sense? Yeah. And sometimes we can live in this place where it can feel like we're filling a need or we're pulling someone up, and that can actually get us stuck. Because we can see where God is actually calling us to. We have a dream. We know the dream. We know where God's leading us. But because we can't actually let go, or because we're too afraid to let the other person down, we can get tangled up in this mess. And I think it's true that there are things in our lives that we're involved with that are absolutely draining us. And instead of actually stepping out into who God is calling us to be, we want to hold on to it because, you know, we have that thing of, oh, who else is going to step up? Well, no one, if you don't step out of the way. This is true. But one of the things I've been learning is I've got to actually learn to let go of the things that are not my strengths. It's an interesting thing how, like, sometimes we're like, oh, just work on the things that you're weak at. Fill that gap in your life. Or actually work on the things that you've got strengths in. Because there's other people who fill those weaknesses in your life who have, that's their area of strength, if that makes sense. I'll dive into it a little deeper. But we do need to learn to actually let go and let God. Because at the end of the day, it's not actually our responsibility to hold everything and everybody or everyone up. And it is true that we are the body of Christ and we all have a part to play. And I think of it like, this is funny, maybe because I'm a musician, but it's like an orchestra. Now, if I was to play percussion in an orchestra, because there is no one else to fill that instrument, I'd be doing that with zero passion for it because, you know, maybe I can't even read music, but hey, I'm just there because I'm feeling a need. I'm going to fill that spot. But the question is, could I actually step out of that and trust in God to bring someone who is incredibly gifted and incredibly passionate about playing percussion? Or am I going to be like, oh, I better do this because I'm needed? Do you see what I'm saying? Hope it's clear. But Jesus at the end of the day says He will build His church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18. He will build His church, not me. I get to be part of that. Amen. Thank you. And a serious question I think we have to ask ourselves in this thing of limits is this really where God wants me to be? Am I passionate about this, or have I just picked this up because no one else is willing to? So God gives us different strengths and passions, and it really is about us embracing his gifts of limits in our lives, right? So, you know, I used to be stuck in this mindset of thinking, I'm serving the Lord by doing everything. I want to serve everywhere. I mean, I'm a sucker for it. I just want to do everything all the time. But, you know, when I have that attitude, it's more like I'm serving myself in that. I'm just going to be honest here. And sometimes I want people to see me doing things that are hard for me, because then I can justify it and be like, I'm suffering for the Lord. It's really not. But the fact is that there is stuff that people can do 100% better than me. But because I don't get out of the way, those people may actually never take it on. And if I continue in those things, and, you know, it takes up a lot of time, continuing in the things that I'm not really passionate about or not gifted at, that's not really my strength. If I continue in that, I'm in the danger of actually burning out, because it actually takes me so much effort to do those things. It would be like working in a job that you absolutely hate. Am I making sense? Yeah. So it's interesting that, yeah, I think often we don't realize our own limitations. We can easily fall into the trap of taking on way too many things. And I'm not just talking about church life. I'm talking about everything in life. When we take on way too much, we can actually start living in a place that's beyond our limits. And that's a dangerous place to live for extended periods of time. I mean, I'm going to explain it. Just go with me. I'm going to explain it at the very end. This is like the world's longest intro. But here we go. We're going to get into the word. All right. So what does the Bible have to say about limits? Here we go. Well, God actually put his first limit back in Genesis. So if you remember, God made Adam and Eve. Yep. And they were hanging out in the garden. And he actually put a limit there for them. He said, you know, you can eat from the tree, whatever tree you want, but you cannot eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And somehow the serpent actually tricks them. They get tricked into thinking that God is actually holding out on them, and they have FOMO, fear of missing out, I'd say. They get tricked into actually eating the forbidden fruit, and then it says they decide to become like God and decide good and bad for themselves. You can read this in Genesis 2, 16 to 17 and Genesis 3, 4 to 5. There it is on the screen. And then we go from Adam and Eve, and then we're just going to fast forward to Jesus. So Jesus was the perfect Adam, and he was actually tempted in all the same ways with his own limitations as a human. So he faced the same temptations around limits as Adam and Eve did. But the thing is that Jesus fully trusted the Father. And, you know, we'll just look at this really quick. But after Jesus was baptized, he was led into the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. In Matthew 4, verses 3, the first temptation was, you know, the devil saying to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, then tell these stones to become bread. And of course, Jesus had the power to call down manna from heaven. He could have done whatever he wanted, like he was God. But he actually embraced his limit as a human, because we've got to remember, Jesus was human, but also fully God. And he chose to put his trust in the Father, because his time had not yet come. The second temptation The devil takes Jesus to the highest point and is like, jump. Show the people that God is really with you. That would have been really like cool and dramatic. Like just, he jumps off and you could imagine the scene. But again, he puts his trust in the Father and his timing. The third temptation, Satan takes Jesus to the mountain and shows him the world and is like, this could be yours. You know, if you just skip over the cross, you know, don't worry about that. But Jesus humbly bows to the Father's wisdom and he suffers the cross and he takes that on. He embraced the limits that God gave him. And it's interesting to think as well that Jesus also had limits. And I know he's fully God, but he was also fully human. He had to sleep. He would have had to have eaten, used the restroom as well. He had limits. And it's interesting as well, Jesus did not actually heal every single person. Now, what I mean by that is he was limited to where he was. Well, not in all cases. There was a case like, you know, where he just said the word and, you know, someone got healed. But he didn't meet every single person individually. Like he was limited in where he was. He was not omnipresent. I mean, he's omnipresent now because he's ascended into heaven, but he was not omnipresent everywhere at once when he was on earth as fully man and fully God. He didn't cast out every demon possessed person. Has anyone seen The Chosen season 2? I highly recommend it, but there's this incredible scene where Jesus is ministering and his disciples are, you know, huddled around the fire and they're actually having a bit of a fight and Jesus is just, you know, ministering and then, it gets really late and then he comes back and he's been, you know, there's just crowds of people and he's been praying, healing them, and then he comes back and he sees his disciples fighting and he's just like, yeah, see you guys, I'm going to go to sleep. He was absolutely exhausted. He was spent because he had limits on his physical body. He went down, you know, prayed, his mum helped him take his shoes off, and then he went to sleep. Such a powerful picture. So limits are a real gift from God that actually help us to follow Jesus. And I think there's a few questions to think about. So what, the first one is this, what limits do I need to receive and submit to joyfully as God's invitation to trust in him? Because sometimes we don't actually always get the answer we are looking for or the outcomes that we are hoping for. And that's okay, because I can still trust God, because I know that God has a grip on all things. And the other Friday we watched Indescribable. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but it's like God holds the whole universe together and he has a grip on everything and we can fully trust him even when things don't make sense to us. So something that I think God has given us with, it's a limitation, I think, is he gives us all different types of personalities. Okay? There is a limit on us as people, like our personalities. Has anyone done the Myers-Briggs personality thing or the Enneagram? I won't say this. I'm going to say, oh, hands up, introverts. No one's going to put their hand up. But you got to know, like, how you're wired, like your personality. Are you an introvert? Do you like spending time by yourself? Like, do you need to get away and recharge and just, I don't know, I love to just sit and play a game, playing Assassin's Creed. It's amazing. That's my introverted time. Or are you, like, extroverted? Do you just have to be around people all the time? You just suck the life out of everyone. No, I'm kidding. But you just love talking. And all the introverts are like, you never shut up. I'm like, you got to know yourself. It's really important because there is like a limit in that, because you need to know like when you need to take some time to recharge. Are you spontaneous and creative? Or controlled and orderly? I think I'm just like, oh yeah, just I'm pretty spontaneous and creative. Probably don't plan things as much. I'm learning. Or are you easygoing? Or focused and driven? I think most of you know me. I'm pretty easygoing. I'm just like, yeah, just whatever, go with the flow. Yep. So the second thing is we have limits in different seasons of life as well. Ecclesiastes 3 verses 1 to 2 says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. You know, like there are different limits at different stages of our lives that God, that's a gift from God. Like classic example for us is we're raising a toddler. Like that's a limit on our life. Like it's different from being, you know, married. I mean, like we had more freedom, like not as many limits, or like to being single, it's completely free. You know, you can go out every night of the week. You don't have to discuss anything with your partner. You just make decisions by yourself and it's all good. Yeah. Josh is like, oh. We have limits in our emotional, physical, and intellectual capacities. If you ever see me at work, I hate sitting for extended periods of time, so I'll often like be walking around like typing. That's probably a limit in my physical being to be able to sit for extended periods of time. We have limits on our time. Everyone's got that limit. We are running out of time on earth. One day we will come to the end of our time here on earth. So yeah. And God works powerfully in our limits. So I'm just going to go through a few examples from scripture, right? A few stories. Think about this. It's within the limit of 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes that the feeding of the 5,000 took place. Do we all remember that miracle? Yep. And there was also the limit of Moses with his slowness of speech. I love that story in the Bible because I probably relate to Moses. But I love what God says. He goes, oh, just tell him that I am sent you, because he didn't know what to say. So he ends up leading the Israelites out of Egypt, even in his limited ability to be able to speak. There's heaps of examples in the Bible. And limits are often a gift from God in disguise. And what he does in and through our limits is always more than what we could ever do in our own strength. And I love, I was reminded of 2 Corinthians 12:9, where Paul writes, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. How cool is that? And I think it's also true that sometimes we can really have unrealistic expectations on ourselves and on others. And when we fail to embrace our God-given limits, we often find ourselves giving what we do not have ourselves. Does that make sense? So the second thing I just want to touch on as well, and I'm almost finished, I promise. What are the limits I need to break through by faith? There is actually times where God wants us to break through our limits by faith. And sometimes God calls us way out of our comfort zone. And there's a ton of examples in the scriptures where this happens. Like I think of Abraham and Sarah. They were super old, but yet they were able to have Isaac. And they trusted in God, and God made them the father and mother of many nations. What about Elijah? Elijah actually had depression, yet God used him powerfully. He had to break through that through faith. What about the 12 disciples? They were unexperienced, ordinary guys, yet they led the church powerfully. They broke through in faith. And for me personally, an area that I'm learning and having to break through in at the moment is, I think it would be the area of leadership. This is something I feel like super underqualified and stretched in. But I know it's an area of breakthrough for me. God's calling me to break through this limit, and it's uncomfortable. But I know it's good for me, because I know it's also one of those things that I can only do myself, because no one else is going to do this for me. And I really feel strong that God's calling me to really break through in this area. And breakthrough is like, I think of it like the gym. That's why I have a cool picture of a guy lifting. There are limits where God is calling you to push through. You know, you start light and you start to grow as you push heavier weights. And it's definitely a bit uncomfortable at first, but you start to be able to actually control the weights as you push heavier. And you actually push through the limits of what you think is actually possible. And if you asked me a year ago if I thought I'd be lifting what I lift now in the gym, I would have told you no way. No way would I have ever thought or imagined that. So everyone should lift or run or do something. Expand and break through a limit in your life. There's just two more areas I want to touch on, and then we're going to land. I think one of the areas that I think is really important with our limits is self-care. Self-care is actually a healthy limit. And I used to think, oh, self-care, that's just being selfish. You're just like thinking of yourself. Well, and then I was reminded, then I was just like praying and thinking, and so it's really like first aid. So do you guys know Dr. ABC? The first thing that happens in first aid is danger. If I see someone in trouble and I'm just like, oh, you'll be right, just run over and don't even check anything, just go check the casualty, I'll probably most likely end up right next to them as a casualty myself. And self-care is actually about being good stewards of ourselves. Because when we actually care for ourselves, we're caring for others. I mean, I love the Bible, and Jesus says, love others as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So if you don't have a love for yourself, it's going to be a struggle to love others. You do have to look after yourself. And it's often like we have to have input, like our output, like what we do in life, often looks a lot bigger than what's going into our lives. So it's interesting. It's like we have this much input, but our output's just massive. So I encourage all of us to actually take some time, yeah, to think about our self-care. Do something that's fun. Have time where you get away with God. I mean, one of the awesome things we did at Ari was we spent half a morning just getting away from everything. Didn't have my phone, didn't have anything. Just was in a space where, yeah, I was just with God. God's just inputting into my life. So self-care. And I think sometimes some of the warning signs is if you start feeling things like you get angry or you're tired or you're depressed or you just get irritable, that can actually be a really good indicator that you need to take a step back and have some self-care. It's like every day for me. Okay, the second thing is this. You ready for it? You can say no. Just practice, say no. I know it's really hard. You just say no. Yeah, everyone's like, no. But you can say no. Here's the thing. You don't have to commit to things that you have zero passion for. Hey, I'm serious, because you have zero passion for that, but someone else over here has like passion for that. So let them actually say yes, and let your yes cover someone else's no. That's how we function as the body of Christ. We want to be coming, like operating from places of strength. We don't want to be doing stuff just for the sake of doing it. We want to be doing stuff because we're passionate and excited about doing stuff. And here's a really easy, practical way to say no. And you probably might have picked this up, but I've just been practicing this. So now when people ask me to do something, Instead of saying, oh yeah, maybe, oh yeah, okay then. That's my natural reaction. But now I'm like, let me check my calendar. Let me come back to you. So you could practice that too. So when someone asks you something, you could say, oh, well, let me just check my calendar. I'll come back to you. That doesn't mean no. It just means I'm looking at my overall, like what's going on in my week. And if I have time, I will say yes. Because when I say yes, I want to actually be able to fully commit and do something to the best of my ability and not just say yes and be like half there, if that makes sense. So that's just a practical way to say no. So you can say no. No. Okay, so if we go to the next slide. Yeah, so I want to just quickly touch on margin and then we're going to finish and have a few, I guess, questions to talk about over lunch. Real deep conversation over lunch. It's going to be awesome. But here's the thing, right? We have this thing called margin, and I know we've probably talked about this before, but this is like our capacity as people. And often, like, if we're normal, I don't know, this is a normal life, we kind of operate between the 70 to 85%. So like in our work life, in our family life, you know, we comfortably sit there. And then something comes along that's challenging or hard, and then we start to dip into like the 85 to 100%. It stretches us a little bit, and we have to, you know, there's a little bit of margin there. So from the 85 to 100%, we're not at the full, our full capacity, but we're using that bit of us to, you know, do the stuff. The best way it's been explained to me is like, if you have to catch a flight, you leave a bit of extra time to get to the airport, because we all know traffic can be really, really bad, especially in Sydney. I mean, it's handy that we live really close to the airport, but you leave margin. So you give yourself a little bit of extra time to get there. So what happens is sometimes we can find ourselves actually functioning at the 100% plus. Like we just have so many things going on in our lives that we don't even have space to breathe. And we just constantly function from 100 to 120%. And it's just go, 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 go all the time. And I'm here to tell you, or me really, you have to have an end date to that. Because if you don't have an end date to functioning at 100 and 120% all the time, you're in real danger of actually burning out. So the question I ask myself, if I'm actually in that place, is, do I have an end date for this craziness that's going on? Is this just a season that's happening for maybe 2 or 3 weeks and then I'm going to come out of that and just relax and just be like, ha. Or do I find myself stuck there, just like unable to get out of the 100% plus zone? This is the question I've been asking myself. That's what they... It's like, whoa, that's a good question. And I think it's true that, of course, we can grow in our capacity. Like, we do grow in our capacity as people. But I guess where I want to, yeah, I just want to ask, I guess, some questions for us this morning. And I want to do things a little bit differently. But I actually like all of us to, or all of you guys and me included, to actually think about these questions and have an honest discussion with your spouse or someone close to you. Because you can hear all this and then it will just go in one ear, go out the other ear. But unless we're actually having, we have accountability with each other so that someone can be like, oh, how are you going? Are you still functioning at 110%? So some of the questions are, where are you functioning in your capacity? Where do you see yourself on that scale? If you're like 30%, well, that's just called procrastination. You just need to do more work. If you find yourself at like 70 to 85%, that's great, doing well. You can you know, at times you'll be able to take on more things. If you find yourself at 100 to 120, you need to just relax. You need to take a self-care day and just relax, okay? So where are you functioning in your capacity? Is there a limit that you need to receive? This is a hard question. Is there actually a limit that you need to receive? Is there a limit that you feel like you're breaking through at the moment? Is there something that needs to change? Or is there something that stands out to me? So I'd like to give us, oh man, we're like already 11:30, but that's okay. I think we can take a few minutes to just discuss this with someone around us. And then I'm going to come back and pray for us. And then we're going to close. Is that okay? Cool.